be surprised what a man would do.
You start to see pictures, ain't you?
Got room for one more?
I ain't too anxious to be handing out rides.
Real trusting fella, huh?
Not so much. Ain't no way I'm spending a couple of nights under a roof with somebody I don't know who they are. So who are you? Okay, everybody, hear this. I'm taking this woman to hand. Reward's $10,000. That money's mine, boys.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I first want to start this review off by taking a back down memory lane. And people, just go ahead and get this out the way. I'm talking about Quentin Tarantino's eighth film, Hateful Eight, here. But I'm taking a stroll down memory lane. I want to go back to 2012 when I saw Django. And I remember me and Miss Lena did that review, and I ended up giving that movie a stream it. I want to come back now and here in 2015 and say, yeah, I changed my mind on that. That movie is a fuck it. See, now I gave it that stream it just because of the performance of Leonardo DiCaprio. And I still hold by that his performance was great, but that movie is some fucking bullshit. So getting that out the way. Fast forward now to 2015, like I said, got myself a screener, Quentin Tarantino's eighth film, Hateful Eight. People, and I already see the raves, I see the lists, I see people putting this on their best of lists, their number three best of the year lists and stuff like that. These Tarantino fanboys, ooh, they come out strong. And a lot of people seem to think I hate Tarantino, which I do. I can't stand the little motherfucker. But I will say the three films that everyone loves, I mean, how could you not love them? Pulp Fiction, Jackie Brown, and Reservoir Dogs. Reservoir Dogs being my favorite, Jackie Brown probably being my second, Pulp Fiction being my third probably. I think the most recent one I really saw was Jackie Brown. I haven't seen the other two in quite some time now. But a lot of people were not only putting this on their best of list, but they're saying this is possibly Quentin Tarantino's best film since Pulp Fiction, or actually since Reservoir Dogs. I'm here to give you my opinion of it. And I guess my opinion of Tarantino. Now, the one thing I do hate about Tarantino is he can't seem to escape his fanboy pleasure of just wanting to be a fucking teenager so goddamn bad. I mean, he's a fan of his own damn self, to be honest. His head is ego. I mean, Wayne brings up Tom Cruise. He don't like him for his ego. Quentin Tarantino has to have the biggest fucking egotistical mind in Hollywood working a day. And how can you hate the man for that? I mean, look at him. Look how popular he is. Look how much money he makes. A lot of people think he's true to cinema. His bullshit-ass movies get nominated for awards when they shouldn't. That man's got a lot going for him, so why wouldn't he be cocky, I guess? I mean, if I was in his shoes, shit, I'd be sniffing my own ass, too, like he does. But Hateful Eight here, pretty much in it takes place in Wyoming during Civil War to post-Civil War time, if you will. Actually, I don't know if it's post or still during. I'm pretty sure it's post, though. Post-Civil War time, which I think is only in that time just so Quentin Tarantino can use that word, nigga, which he does say in this film. But we got Kurt Russell. Movie opens up with him and being horse-slayed out into town to Red Rock Town. But they gotta make a stop because this storm is catching up with them heavily. Kurt Russell and Jennifer Jason Leigh plays Daisy. And he plays John Roof the Hangman. And he's a bounty hunter, and he's taking her into Red Rock because, you know, she's got to pay for her crimes. And there's a $10,000 bounty hunter on her. And the thing about his bounties is when the hangman catches you, you hang. He doesn't kill you. So they get stopped on the road by Samuel L. Jackson and about three of his dead bounties. And he says, I pretty much lost my horse. Can I possibly get a ride with you guys? I don't even want your bounty. I got my three right here that equals up to about $9,000 itself. So if you help give me a ride, then, you know, I help you, I guess. I don't know. And they're on the road. They're talking a lot, you know. And then they run into, I think it was after, you know, there's a thing about a letter from Abraham Lincoln that Samuel L. Jackson's character got. And Kurt Russell's like, oh, let me see it. And this Daisy, Jennifer Jason Leigh, she's such a fucking cunt in this movie. She spits on the damn letter. Samuel L. Jackson punches her ass off the sleigh. They fall out because they're pretty much handcuffed together. And that's when you hear someone screaming, which is by Walton Goggins, his character. And he plays Sheriff Chris. I can't remember the whole name, but it's just Sheriff Chris, though. He says he's going to be the new sheriff of Red Rock because the old sheriff was murdered. So it's easy to say that these Samuel Jackson's character, I forgot, what was it? I think it was Marcus in here or some shit like that. I don't remember his damn name. Oh, Marcus Warren, that's right. Marcus Warren and John Ruth. Hey, I don't easily trust this guy. But they finally managed to make their way to a cabin, kind of like a rest stop. And I forgot the chick's name who was ran by, but it doesn't matter. And this is where we're introduced into Bob, played by Damien Bicker. And he's, if you've seen the trailer, he plays the Mexican. And he's like, pretty much, hey, let me help you get your horses settled in. Then you guys go on, get some coffee and stuff like that. And then we got Tim Roth as Oswaldo Mowbray, if I'm not mistaken. You got Michael Madsen as Joe Gage. Bruce Dern plays General Sandy Smithers, who's a fucking evil old racist. And Kurt Russell's driver, Obi, played by James Parks. Who else was in there? Yeah, I think that was pretty much it. So, yeah, that's eight of them. And pretty much the movie is just stalling until this whole winter season is over so they all can go and collect their bounty. But, the longer they stay in this cabin, the more that they start to learn that there's some nefarious tricks going on up in here. That's pretty much your plot synopsis. I mean, I don't delve into a little bit more because then I'll be giving my opinions and thoughts about the movie. And what I'm going to say here is this film is shaped like a play. Everybody heard about this intermission in here. Well, it's shaped in a play, and I see why the intermission is here because it's split into, I wonder if it's five or six chapters. I can't remember if I saw chapter five and then it said the ending or something like that. But I'm going to go ahead and say just five chapters. It's split into five chapters here. And it's really shaped like a play format. And what I like about that, matter of fact, the movie even is kind of in a play setting, if you will, because it really just takes place in this cabin for the whole damn movie. I mean, the beginning of the movie, for I want to say about a chapter and a half, you see them on the mountain skirts of Wyoming, and you see the beautiful cinematography of, you know, the snow and the mountains and stuff like that. Does a great job with the shots and stuff like that. Doesn't touch Revenant levels, but he does a damn good job with them, I must say. What I gotta say about the whole play concept, splitting it into five chapters, I kind of like that. And I don't know if this helped or anything like that, but what I liked about it was it helped me depict it. What I didn't like and what I did like of the movie a little bit more. And I don't know if it's because it broke it down into certain chapters where I could pinpoint certain things that I noticed that Tarantino always does in his films that I'd get sick of, or if it helped me pinpoint things that I see that was done better by him. Now, a lot of people are saying this is probably his best movie since, you know, Jackie Brown. And I'm going to go ahead on the point here and say, I agree wholeheartedly. I think this is his best movie since Jackie Brown. I don't really give a fuck about the Kill Bill movies. I'm not going to lie. I know a lot of people does, but I fucking despise. Oh, I ain't going to say despise. I really don't give a shit about Django. I despise. That movie's a fuck it. Probably other than the Death Proofs and stuff like that, all that bullshit, Django is a clear one that I give a fuck it to. Inglourious Basterds, that shit's boring as fuck. I mean, it really is. I mean, he takes the story away from a movie that I want to see, and then he puts on his bullshit that he wants to film, and it's just a fucking terror. I'm sorry, that movie is fucking awful. But this one, I will say, it's not as fucking fanboys, people in general, stop calling this fucking man a genius, first of all. This movie is not fucking genius. It's not breaking cinema records or anything. It's not doing any of that shit. Is it a fine movie? Yes. Is it a fucking brilliant movie? No. It's got a lot of fucking problems with it. But I do say that it is his best work, which really ain't that hard to do because God knows how when the man done something is fucking brilliant in a long time. I mean, what Jackie Brown came out, what, 97? So it's taken almost damn near a decade for him to get a good movie going. But now, here's what I like about the film. Chapter 1 and Chapter 2. Chapter 1... I didn't think it was great, but I didn't think it was terrible. But I will say that it was a nice setup. And I liked it. I liked meeting these characters. And I was just like, okay, well, now I'm in the world. And I thought Chapter 1 did a good job of establishing this world, establishing at least the three characters of Samuel Jackson, Jennifer Jason Leigh, and Kurt Russell's character. Did a great job. Chapter 2. I liked that chapter. I think that was my favorite chapter. We started getting a little bit more once we pick up the sheriff now, Sheriff Chris here. Once we pick up Sheriff Chris Mannix's character, we start to get a little bit more into the whole Civil War side of things because he's clear racist. I mean, he's against, you know, blacks getting the friend. Then he tells a little bit more background story of Samuel Jackson's character and how, you know, he pretty much not only killed a bunch of white dudes that was just itching to call him a nigga and stuff like that, but he pretty much took out, you know, a couple of blacks in his way too that, you know, hey, it's war, you know, got in his way. There's a lot of background story in Chapter 2. I thought Chapter 2 was probably the best part of the whole movie, actually. It's very toned down. The characters have some good dialogue, and also that the acting is I won't say phenomenal because I'm going to get into some acting a little bit later. I can get into acting now. Acting is good. Samuel Jackson is fucking fantastic. It's his movie. Kurt Russell, I thought he did a good job of winning. Jennifer Jason Leigh was just a fucking scumbag cunt, and I ain't going to lie. Every time Kurt Russell popped her in the fucking mouth, I was like, thank God, but I liked her a lot. Walton Goggins, he kind of got on my nerves a little bit. But I will say the most annoying one, although thought he did a great job with what he was supposed to do, Tim Roth was fucking a cartoon character in this goddamn film. I mean, there was times in this movie where he just fucking took me out of the movie because I was like, why is he doing a fucking British accent in Wyoming in the fucking Civil War time? What is this shit? And it was annoying. Then, you know, you got Bob, Damien Bicker. He's the second guy that took me on. I was like, the fuck is he playing a Mexican for? The accent was, I'm talking about, it's like getting into stereotype Mexican form, man. I'm just like, all right, I don't really get that part either. It's almost like it's done for fucking comedic elements, and it's not fucking funny at all. Actually, it's one of those things where it makes you just stop and look at it and go like, why the fuck is he playing a Mexican again? I don't know, but it's kind of, and then Walter Goggins, the accent he kind of uses is off and on. And I don't mean off and on as far as, like, he's keeping the accent thing. I mean off and on as far as there was some parts where I didn't mind it, and there was some parts where I was just like, okay, that accent's kind of fucking annoying, actually. But everything else, as far as the acting goes for everybody else, I thought was fine. The acting is fine all around for the parts they're supposed to do, but fucking Tarantino just couldn't keep these fucking characteristics of certain traits of his fucking stereotypes that he keeps in these films. And my God, they're all over this fucking movie. So then Chapter 3, which, damn, this is Deja Vu. I feel like I've reviewed this movie already. I think I did a little bit, but I was talking about it with somebody else, on there. But, Chapter 3 was fucking boring. I mean, and here's the thing where I like about the chapters. And for a 3-hour and 7-minute movie, I don't know if it's because I got to see it at home, but I did split it in pieces. But I did watch it again, and I watched it all together as one. Because the first time I watched it, I'm not going to lie, I was kind of doing some movie spoiler shit in the background, to be honest. So I watched it again, all one sitting. And I'm not going to lie, the time frame didn't feel like it was 3 hours long. I sat there and was just like, I don't know if it's because it's split into different chapters, but it actually runs at a nice pace here. And I don't know if it's just because there's a lot of good tension in the film. There's, if this movie, the characters in here, since it's such a sandbox bottled film, there's a lot of tension going on in this one room setting where you just like, yep, just because he said that, I know he's got a fucking bullet to the head, he's got a bullet to the head, he's got a bullet to the head. And plus, the thing about it too is you don't know where it's gonna go. I think the problem with Django, because that movie just felt for god long. It felt like it had no purpose. It felt like it was being a full cartoon, and it felt like it was just being a goddamn joke for the whole damn movie. Especially when it was talking about slavery time. Where I have to say, in this film, even though I do think it is excessive sometimes, because there was actually, before it got excessive, I thought it was just fine with him saying nigger. Because I can definitely tell in the Civil War, it didn't seem like it was being used as a joke as it was in Django. But the problem in here is Tarantino. Once they get to this cabin, Tarantino just can't fucking hold back. And I think that's why I have a problem with his movies being so long, is he adds in filler. There's literally a scene here, people, where they Tim Roth's character, I don't know how he found out, but he says, I heard one of your boys got a letter from Abraham Lincoln. And then out of nowhere, someone's like, that nigga has a letter. And then, like, the whole room goes around the office just saying, that nigga has a letter. And I was just like, okay, see, it's moments like that where I know you just fucking using the word just because you're fucking Tarantino and you just want to use it. See, if had it been another director, I'd have been like, that's fine, whatever. But since I know it's Tarantino, it's almost like you kind of look at it and just go like, okay, I know he ain't using it just to, you know, make a point or anything, or trying to say this is how people were back then. He's using it because he feels like he gets a fucking pass to say it and stuff like that. And throughout this whole movie, I never once felt like that until that one scene where I just looked at it and was just going like, you just can't hold back, huh? Like, everything has to be a fucking comedic joke with your punk ass, huh? It's like I was giving you I wasn't giving them pass, but I was just like, it didn't actually bother me for once that you were saying it in here, and yet you just couldn't hold that back, could you? But the time of the movie did not bother me at all. I thought it was actually, for one time, for his film, I can say, the only problem I probably, not like I say problem, but the only difference I would like to know what I think it's 2 hours and 47 minutes or something like that. I want to know what did I get differently from the general audience got or something like that. But I'm not paying for this shit, I can tell you right now, so to find that out. So now the third chapter had some good moments in it as far as, you know, the tension still boiling and stuff like that. But I gotta say, there was a lot of that stuff where I was like, this could be cut the fuck out, because it was literally just banter and banter. And this is, chapter 3 was probably the most boring fucking chapter out of all of them. And you know, it splits in half to get to the intermission part. And, you know, the intermission kind of catches everyone back up to date. But the best thing about chapter 3 was Samuel Jackson and them finding out that, you know, the letter to Abraham Lincoln wasn't real. But I love the dialogue he had about, you know, of course that letter isn't real, because Kurt Russell's character really respected him for that letter, because, you know, President Lincoln was big shit back then. And, you know, the conversation he had with Kurt Russell pretty much saying, well, I guess it's true what they say about your people. You're just a bunch of goddamn liars and stuff like that. And then Samuel Jackson broke down saying, this letter got me a ride on your carriage. It gets me respect from people that... And he pretty much broke down just like, you don't know what it's like to be a black person. That was a really... Everybody keeps talking about Tarantino does brilliant dialogue. I fucking disagree with that, period. But I gotta say, this scene right here was probably the only brilliant part I would give credit of saying that word brilliant to. I thought that scene was actually really good, and I was like, wow, that's actually a little bit emotional right there, man. Plus, it coming from two great actors such as Kurt Russell and Samuel Jackson, you believe in it too. But after that scene, because that scene is what kicked off chapter 3, which became really good. And before that, in chapter 3, I was like, get this shit out of here. I don't really give a fuck about not this. It wasn't the point where it was dragging. I was just like, but it was to a point where I was just like, all right, come on. What's going on here? Y'all going to team up? Are y'all against each other? Because, you know, the trailer, I'm not going to lie, it doesn't really tell you a lot. So I didn't really know what I was going into this film. But I was just kind of like, come on, give me some plot points right here. I'm seeing a lot of bad Tarantino effects that he does in all of his fucking movies. There's a fucking running constant constant jokes and shit, like the running gags with like the fucking door or the soup or whatever that shit was and stuff like that. They're just constantly, or the coffee tastes like shit and stuff like that. I'm just like, all right, I don't give a fuck about none of this. But then this general, because he pretty much, General, what was the guy's name in the fucking movie? I'm talking about Bruce Dern's character, General Sandy. And what's his name? Juan Gan's character is like, this dude's a war hero. Yeah, you know, the way you treat those niggers, you know, back then, you know, they deserved every bit of it and stuff like that. And Samuel Jackson's like, I will put a bullet in your ass. But everybody else is in here is just like, now, you know, you can't shoot this guy. We can't have no violence like this because you pretty much kill an old helpless man, bloodthirsty and stuff like that. So it gets, and this Bruce Dern character, he must say, I ain't never gonna speak to no nigger or anything like that, you know. But after this scene where we find out the letter is fake and stuff like that, Samuel Jackson brings him some soup. They sit down, and Samuel Jackson is pushing his button. I love this fucking scene. But this, I ain't gonna lie, this scene did get a little fucked up too with some Tarantino shit, and I was just like, oh my god, dude, you just can't fucking hold back, can you? You fucking... He really does, like, he needs, like, a co-director to say, can you please stop that? I know his ego won't fucking let him, but he pretty much says, yeah, I knew your son. Yeah, I knew your son. Because Bruce Dern's character, he's just like, I didn't even know how my son died, where he died. I don't even know how he died or anything like that. Then Samuel Jackson says, I knew your son. He gets up and leaves the chair and he grabs him. He's like, did you really know my son? And then he said, I know when he died. And he was like, would you like to know when? And Bruce Dern's like, yeah, I would. He tells Bruce Dern, the moment he met me. I was like, it was such a good dialogue scene, whatever. And the way Samuel Jackson delivered it to was just fucking perfect. Samuel Jackson, man, he's still a fucking fantastic actor. And I love it because he takes the gun out, and it was, I'm assuming it was his son's gun. He lays on the counter, and he's just like, and this is all to fuck with Bruce Dern's character, to get him to point the gun at him. That way he can say it was self-defense when I shot his ass. But then he tells this long-ass story, and everybody just kind of looking. But Samuel Jackson tells this long-ass story about how he tortured his fucking son and stuff like that. And then to a point where he made him strip butt-ass naked and had him walking in the snowy, cold mountains and shit like that. And this is where it got weird and fucking Tarantino shit, where he made him suck. Samuel Jackson made this dude suck his dick and shit like that. And then you see Samuel Jackson just cheering in the sky and stuff like that. It's just like, okay, man, you kind of... I was really going with this story of just because it was funny to see, you know, former slave fucking screw this guy over like that and shit like that. It was fucking incredible, but Tarantino had to fuck it up with this kind of cartoonish, ridiculous shit. And I was just like, god damn, dude, man, seriously. Every time, it's like a wave roller coaster with you. Unless, like, I'm on your storyboard here, and then you just kind of say, ah, but you know what? Fuck P1, man. I can't help myself. I got to put this in here. I got to put some Robert Rodriguez-looking shit up in here or something like that. But, and then, you know, Bruce Dern pulls guns out on him, and then they snow it. Oh, no. Because then Samuel Jackson tells him, he's like, he was just like, the best thing about killing your son, too, was him telling me that you was his father or whatever. And he picks up the gun, and Samuel Jackson just shoots his ass in cold blood. I was like, god damn. That was pretty damn good. But then we get in the fourth and fifth chapter where we pretty much find out, you know, they poisoned the coffee and Kurt Russell's character dies and stuff like that. And I love it because Samuel Jackson kind of takes charge. Even Obi dies, and it's kind of like Walton Goggins and Samuel Jackson. They take the guns and put pretty much these three guys, Tim Roth character and the rest of them on trial, on stand, and go like, oh, no, one of y'all working with this bitch. And Samuel Jackson, he's like, but you a stupid bitch, though, because you just shot the only man in here that'd probably keep your ass alive and shit. Because it's like, I'm put a bullet in you, and he shot her in the fucking foot. Now that shit had me laughing. But I gotta say, this is where it kind of got just fucking cartoonish. I mean, it just went into full fucking, just full fucking Tarantino ridiculousness. I mean, this is where I was just like, he just can't fucking hold back for shit now, can you, man? I mean, this was literally getting into that grindhouse shit of Tarantino. And you just like, because later, little do you know it, somebody's under in the basement, whatever, and somebody just shoots Samuel Jackson's balls off, and he's just like, god damn, dude, you put that shit in every one of your fucking movies. And you know, it's a big shootout. Pretty much everyone gets shot except for the Mexican, but everyone gets shot, and you know, they're just sitting there and they're having a gun off where, you know, they're saying, hey, And Daisy pretty much breaks it down to everyone, like, hey, you can take us in, we got this and that, but they're trying to pretty much trick Walter Goggins a shoe sandwich. At least, like, no, fuck all that, I'm not going for that. And they end up just shooting everybody in sight in this motherfucker, Samuel Jackson. And Channing Tatum, I love it because Channing Tatum, they say, hey, you in the basement, you come on out. Because Channing Tatum's playing Daisy's brother in here. And he's like, I just came to free my sister. The movie kind of rewinds and show you a little bit of a prequel for Chapter 4 by showing the Tim Roth, the Mexican Bob, Oswaldo, Joe Gage, and Channing Tatum's character coming in here and pretty much murdering everybody in sight and then keeping Bruce Dern's character alive to just, you know, party this thing up, if you will, a little bit. Make this place look like it's lively and got people in there. But as soon as Channing Tatum takes his head out, which I gotta say, Channing Tatum actually did a good job. For the little part he was in, his little, I guess you can consider, I don't know if that's considered a cameo or not, because he was in there just a little bit in that flashback, a little longer than a normal cameo, but he did an okay job. I was like, all right, well, he's not that bad, I guess. I mean, his accent, he's pretty fine with it, I will. But as soon as he sticks his head out of that underground, throws his guns out, stuff like that, Samuel Jackson blows his fucking head off, and it just, they like, why'd you kill him? He was like, yeah, he deserved it. He shot my fucking balls off. I mean, it was cool to see Samuel Jackson not give a fuck. I was like, yeah, just shoot him. Why are we fucking wasting our time with every fucking body here? But it really did get just fucking cartoonish. I know a lot of people say they like the first half over the second half, where, you know, before all the shootouts and stuff going like that. There's a lot of good elements in these shootouts and stuff before the shooting really begins. It's a lot of good elements in there, but I don't think it really holds a candle to anything that the second chapter does, is when you really get in the know Samuel Jackson's character and the whole history of the Civil War and who fought for who and stuff like that. That was actually really the best parts of the whole movie, but I don't know. I wish it would have been a little bit better because, like I said, it's a bottled film, and them being in this cabin, I was figuring, I knew Tarantino was going to pull some ridiculous crazy shit going on or something like that, but I was thinking that this may actually help Tarantino make a better film, because, you know, Django is all about going to this setting to another setting to this setting, whatever. But with here, I feel like since they're bottled in, all we got to work with is now the dialogue, the script that Tarantino wrote for them, but it's being portrayed by, you know, a really good cast here with a lot of good actors with talent here. So if they can deliver their lines pretty damn good, this could be a good back and forth tension building film right here and stuff like that. And I will say that the tension did lead up. I like the tension a lot in this film because you never knew who was going to get shot and what was going to go on. But it did get fucking ridiculous, more so between the fourth and fifth act. And it was just like, oh. I did like the ending of just, you know, both Samuel Jackson and them reading that. Samuel Jackson and Walter Goggins reading that letter from Abraham Lincoln and just pretty much gonna die pretty much. So, but everything before that, I was just like, oh, what a fucking cartoon. And what gets even more fucking cartoonish too is that these guys got all fucking revolvers and shit like that, and then there's moments where the consistency of the fucking violence in this film doesn't even match up. I mean, Samuel Jackson shoots a dude in the fucking head and it blows up like it's fucking Punisher Warzone or something like that. And then meanwhile, in the later scenes where they're injured shit, they shooting dudes, whatever, and it's just bullets going through them and stuff like that. There's no consistency of bullets. That's another thing of Tarantino. He just does that shit because it's like, oh, look how cool that was. Or the violence in here is just ramped up because, you know, Tarantino fans love his fucking violence and shit like that. And for me, violence in a movie doesn't help a story. It just makes it look more fucking ridiculous, especially when it's not fucking consistent. But people just love that shit of Tarantino, but any other film, oh, it's ridiculous. It's silly and ridiculous, but Tarantino does it, it's fucking art and it's a masterpiece. I'm like, fuck off. That shit was, it was actually, a lot of those pieces was just taking me out of the movie. I was just like, oh my god, fuck, dude. But overall, I gotta say, maybe I think I probably enjoyed it a little bit more than I didn't enjoy it. The time frame for once actually didn't bother me. The performances were fine on at least three parts, and the other parts was just like, nah, whatever. Or actually, when he gets a Tim Roth character, it's like, oh god, what the fuck is he doing that accent for? He's like a cheaper version of fucking damn, what's that boy name? Goddamn, Christoph Waltz. Yeah, I think Christoph Waltz was too busy filming Spectre and couldn't get him this time, so he just had him look like him there. Overall, I think I was just gonna go high stream it, but I'm gonna go low rent it territory. I think it is an enjoyable film. If you're already a Tarantino fan, you're gonna love it anyway. It's got some Tarantino isms in it that's probably gonna fucking knock you off. But I think that most people in general audience will enjoy it. There's a lot of quick witty dialogue that'll get you probably laughing at least. The tension in it is real good. Some people might even like the stupid ass fucking shootouts. The character building is pretty damn good, I have to say. That's probably the best thing of the movie, especially when it gets to chapter 2, like I said, and builds on those characters. And I will say that this is probably the first movie I will give permission to smack a bitch upside the fucking head, because God damn, that Jennifer Jason Leigh, some of the shit she was just saying, you wanted to pop her ass. There was one part where she was just like, yeah, I spit on that letter. I was just like, somebody shut that cunt up back there. I mean, I will say, this was probably the one time I wanted to be in a Tarantino film, because I wanted to hit that bitch at multiple times. Well, there you go, people. Low rent it. So, you Tarantino fanboys, don't fucking come after me for not giving it the fucking highest C of all time or anything like that. It's not a fucking brilliant film. I will say, it is a watchable, it's an enjoyable moment film. Got a lot of good things in there, and who wouldn't wanna watch a film about smacking a bitch that calls you a nigga about 50 times in a movie?
Hold on. You think I'm in cahoots with that fella or her?
That's my problem, boy. I don't know.
One of them fellas will kill everybody in here.
Now we're talking.
Let's slow it down. Let's slow it way down.
When you get to hell, tell them Daisy sent you.
No one said this job's supposed to be easy.
Nobody said it's supposed to be that hard, neither.